Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. This is YouthCast, and I'm Molly Adams. Phoenix, Arizona. If you've ever been there, or even if you live there, it's a little scary. Shout out to my grandma and my aunt. It's a vacation town in the middle of the desert, and it's filled with big homes and golf courses. But it's also a real place where homes and stores are foreclosed upon, and people sweat out the 110-degree summers while they live and work. Andy Boyd, Phoenix resident and the creator of this week's feature, is an enterprising young man. Unaffiliated with any youth radio group, he's been posting dry, sarcastic stories and essays to PRX. Armed with a $15 microphone that he bought at a radio shack, Andy told me in an email, "I started making radio pieces because it seemed like a fun thing to do. I record because I have a feeling if I keep creating things, I'll eventually get good at it." This is Andy Boyd's reflection on his new hometown called My Socialism.
"Today, I will not do what I am supposed to do. After school, I am supposed to pick up my record player from the repair shop, get on the 10, take that to the 202, take that to the 101, get off at my exit, go home, and listen to Eastern European folk music in the safety of my own room. I do not do this. I start to, but can't. I go down Central toward the freeway. I have to make a left turn across the light rail tracks. Public transportation being what it is, this single turn takes no fewer than 3 minutes. Downtown Phoenix is hot, hot and dusty and dirty. The people wear ill-fitting, ugly clothing. Their hair is must. Their eyes have the look of people who have grown accustomed to losing. People who, outside of the city, appear perfectly normal, take on this look of ennui, this look of constant bearable depression upon crossing into the square of concrete known as downtown Phoenix. I have listened to enough Woody Guthrie records and read enough Steinbeck to feel for these people. It is a fact that the total GDP of this nation divided by the population means that if everyone made the same amount of money, we would all make $84,000 a year. I know this. Economic injustice makes me mad, but these people don't make me happy either. They make my skin crawl. I finally get onto the freeway, but my heart isn't in it. At 40th Street, I get off the freeway. I don't know where I'm going, but I decide to go north. I have taken this route home before when the traffic on the freeways was heavy. I would go north to Indian School, turn west, and go home. Today, I don't do this. Today, I go north to Camelback. At Camelback and 40th stands Camelback Mountain. Huge houses dot the side of it. They say you can estimate the value of houses on Camelback by a formula involving only size and elevation. They're basically right. I stare at these houses. They're huge and ugly, but I can't look away. Great colonial mansions, Frank Lloyd Wright-style ranch estates, and complexes modeled after the Cadillos of colonial Mexico receive equal shares of my adoration. I love them. I want to be inside them, drinking mint juleps and laughing about Tolstoy far above the hot struggles of the bourgeoisie. I stare at them for a long time. It becomes dangerous because I am, after all, driving an automobile. I turn my iPod to a podcast of classic short stories. I turn on a piece from Joyce's Dubliners. I imagine it will give me some solidarity with the beautiful people. It does not. Instead, it reminds me how far away from them I am. My Joyce is a free podcast. My Dolly comes from a second-hand art book. My Tennessee Williams is from a book a professor friend of mine lent me because I can't afford to go to the theater anymore. I turn my iPod back to a rock album I stole from the internet. After the mountain, Camelback goes past the Phoenician Hotel. Phoenix is a desert, yet the Phoenician somehow manages to look as green as the Isle of East from Irish legend. I learned about the Isle of East from a book of Yeats I stole from my grandmother. The Phoenician has huge steel gates, a long driveway, a forest of palm trees, and a main hotel surrounded by cottage-style smaller buildings. These cottages are bigger than my house. I'm sure the serfs of the October Revolution would have appreciated the irony. The hotel looks entirely out of place given its biological climate. It is very chic to look out of place in one's biological climate. I lust after the multiple wet bars and parking lots filled with Maseratis, BMWs, and other formerly fascist, currently fashionable brands. The tight-faced clientele of the hotel hold an almost sexual attraction to me. Camelback then passes into Scottsdale Fashion Square, a sprawling complex of unrestrained capitalism. It's the Disneyland of classy people. Stores are named for the foreign words of their wares. My favorite is House, spelled H-A-U-S. They sell home furnishings. Repackaged comfort food is also a big hit. Ice cream with umlauts and cupcakes with clever Morrissey and Lou Reed references for titles are available at inflated prices. I want nothing more than to inhale a faceful of the angel food, down we go together, and remark that yes, this may be the best cupcake I've ever had. This is not the envy of a life spent in poverty. I am not trapped in a transgenerational struggle against oppression. Before the economy collapsed, I attended a prestigious private school in the suburbs of Seattle. I knew of, but was never invited to, the parties of the Weyerhaeusers. If you don't know who they own about a quarter of Montana. This is the envy of the almost-made-its. I stop my car at the intersection of Camelback and Scottsdale Road, and look across the street to the foreclosed front window of my father's store. I take a bullet from my dashboard ashtray and drop it out my open window. I hear it clink on the street below. I don't know how the physics of this work, but I imagine some Range Rover on a hot day running over my bullet. The powder will ignite, and the bullety part of the bullet will fly off, hopefully not killing anyone, but definitely causing some property damage, perhaps smashing a window and spilling shards of glass over a new batch of the Red Velvet Underground at Nico. This is my socialism. A bullet on the sidewalk near the ironically named Urban Outfitters. One more bullet towards revolution.
That was My Socialism by Andy Boyd. Andy Boyd has a whole slew of essays about coffee shops, aliens, dead grandmothers, and being a young up at PRX. Search his name and listen to what he has to say. Also, while you're logged into the World Wide Web, please check out youthcast.org. We'll be putting up an interview with Andy after the holiday weekend. So ring in the new year with super exclusive insider stories.
This has been Molly Adams for Youthcast. It's a project of Generation PRX, a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced radio. Check it out at generationprx.org.
See you in 2010.